I would like to invite you to turn to today's New Testament reading and focus passage, which is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device. You're welcome to take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can listen as I read these words. Once again, this is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. A study by Michigan State University came to a conclusion that most of us already know, that materialistic people have greater anxiety, greater fear, and greater stress. You may have heard studies that confirm that truth, that people who are materialistic or who put their value in stuff, and stuff is an okay term to use when you're talking about materialism, they experience great anxiety and fear and stress. But the link between materialism and stress and fear may be stronger than originally thought, according to this study. They carried out a very unusual study, a very unusual set of data across two Israeli towns, one town under rocket attack for 6 months and the other not. They observed people, and if they were fearful, or how fearful they were, how stressed out or how anxious they were. And the research found that regardless of the city, whether or not you had experienced rockets flying at your city for months on end, or if you were a safe city, regardless of that reality, the study found that materialistic people are much more likely to try to relieve the fear of death through impulsive and out-of-control spending, that people were much more fearful and experienced PTSD more when they were also a materialistic people, once again, regardless of whether or not they had rockets flying at them day by day. So impulsive spending appeared to make the bad event even worse. And for those who are materialistic but also experienced the constant reality of war, they experienced the greatest amount of stress and worry and anxiety. Our dependence on stuff is linked to our worry and our stress and anxiety. When we are worried, we want more stuff, right? When we're stressed, when we're fearful, and when we're anxious, we want to grab onto something that can make us feel better, something that can make us feel more at peace. And we figure if we can gain or grab a tangible object, that at least in the moment we will feel better about ourselves, and maybe we can be distracted from these fears and worry. And so we can name all sorts of items that we gravitate towards, right? But as Baptists, we can acknowledge the role of food that plays into our worry. Have you ever heard of stress eating? Have you ever stress eaten before? When we stress out, we eat out of worry and anxiety. We eat. And we don't usually go for the celery and carrots. We stress eat. We eat that which gives us a temporary high, perhaps something sugary or salty, fast food, whatever it may be. If you must know, my choice is Ben & Jerry's brownie batter core. I would say Krispy Kreme, but Patton Avenue is too far away to drive to, so I just go with the ice cream. We like to reward ourselves and give ourselves a temporary pleasure or happiness to overcome this stress. We like to reward our taste buds. We like to reward the pleasure receptors in our brain that go off when we consume something sugary or something good. And so when we are stressed and we eat perhaps a pint or more of ice cream, we temporarily, very temporarily, believe there is nothing to worry about because we're experiencing great happiness in the moment. Before we know it, we start feeling sick. Before we know it, we crash and we become irritable. Before we know it, that stress that led us to eating because of a low bank account just became greater because we went out at 11 o'clock to the fast food joint or to the grocery to spend money on something that we thought might make us feel better, but when all that wears off, we realize we've made a destructive decision. Now you might say, well, it's just one night, but if you're like me, you're stressed out more than just one night of the year. So as that night adds up over the course of a year, well, we've had a lot of sugar. We've had a lot of burgers. We've had a lot of $5 drops in our bank account because we just couldn't pass up that craving when we were stressed out. After all the worry and all that consumption, and maybe it's not food, by the way. Maybe for you it's clothing or shopping. Maybe it's going out and buying the next gadget. Maybe for you it's just paying for something on pay-per-view. Maybe it's binge-watching movies on Netflix or Hulu. I don't know. Whatever it may be for you, you may have a way of temporarily fighting off this worry by consuming something or by getting your hands on something more. After all that worry and consumption, how much more do we have left then to give and to be generous? Not much, because at that point, the competition won. The goodness you could give of yourself or your resources or your energy to others, perhaps to your family or friends or to the work of the church, is gone. It can no longer be given to family and friends or to your calling or to your church because the competition won. We're going to be talking about generosity and Thanksgiving throughout the month of November as we anticipate the Thanksgiving holiday. But before we talk about giving, before we actually talk about the act of giving of ourselves or of our resources, we sort of need to talk about the competition. The competition, that which competes for our attention or for our pleasure. We need to talk about those things that compete with our ability to be generous. Some of what I just mentioned competes with our ability to give. Jesus, in today's passage, names two general areas that we need to talk about if we're going to talk about being generous and what it means to live generously in the kingdom of God. And Jesus talks about worry, and Jesus talks about our stuff. And it may sound like Jesus is talking about two separate things, like we could have one sermon or one series on what it means to consume or to be materialistic, and we could have another series based on what it means to worry or to be anxious or stressed. And we could talk about those two things separately, but these are all within the same passage. And I think Jesus is trying to show us that our desire to consume, or our desire to gain stuff, or our desire to eat or to gain wealth, whatever it may be, can actually be directly related to and is not mutually exclusive from our worry and our anxiety. Jesus, in his full and complete wisdom, warns us that our worry and our stuff will ultimately rob us from our ability to live generously in God's kingdom. It may be tempting to think that Jesus is suggesting that eating or being clothed is not a big deal. It may be tempting for us to want to say to those who struggle to find their next meal, or perhaps to struggle to find shelter or clothing, hey, don't worry about it. No big deal. I think we're missing the point if that is what we take away from here. I don't think Jesus is telling the homeless person, don't worry about shelter. I don't think Jesus is telling the person living in poverty who cannot have their next meal, hey, don't worry about your food. It's no big deal. I think Jesus is ultimately speaking to those of us who have a little something extra. I think Jesus is talking to those of us in the context of the passage, on those of us who can stock up. Those of us who can afford to go out at 11 o'clock and have a second supper because we're craving it or because we're stressed out. Or Jesus is telling for those of us who have excess and we can go out and perhaps buy another gadget, or perhaps we can go out and buy more clothes or go to a concert that we can't afford. Whatever it may be, Jesus may be saying there's some excess there. And you may want to prayerfully consider if your consumption and use of that excess is really making your life more abundant and full of joy. This is not a sermon against gadgets or against buying clothes or against Christmas or the giving of gifts or the receiving of gifts, but it is important this time of year that we pause, that we stop just momentarily and we ask ourselves, how much is enough? And not just how much is enough, but is it possible that this materialism that we get caught up in this time of year, and I say this time of year because you know that when the clock strikes midnight on November 1st, we have now entered the Christmas season, at least commercially. And so we need to ask ourselves, as we are constantly pointed to and driven towards consumption this time of year, are we adding to the stress and the anxiety of our lives and to the lives of the world around us? And I think the answer is clearly yes, if we go down that path and take part in this kind of consumption. Jesus is speaking to those of us who have an excess to give and like to stock up on way more than we need. Jesus is saying you're creating worry for yourself, you're creating stress for yourself because you're putting all of your worth and you're putting your happiness and your joy into having something. So it may be excess food, it may be excess wealth, it may be just something you don't need that could be used for generosity. And so over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about generosity in light of the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. But before we can truly talk about generosity and what we can give, we must commit ourselves to eliminating the competition. We have a range of individuals and families in this room, and I believe that everyone in this room sits with excess. Everyone in this room has something else to give. Some may have financial wealth, but others may have a wealth of time. Some may have a wealth of untapped creativity or service. Some may have a wealth of relational generosity. Some may have a wealth of energy that you simply don't know where to direct. And I'm not going to lay out some sort of an inventory or test for you to take where you can determine exactly where you can give your excess. That's up to you and how the Spirit leads you. But I am going to ask that as we prepare to come to this table today, that you should be aware of one truth as we start down this road of generosity. God's grace is sufficient for you, and that you have something more to give to Him. I'm not calling any of you stingy, by the way. There are no Ebenezer Scrooges in this room, I know. But you have something else to give. You have more to give somewhere. This table is a reminder that there's always something more to give, isn't it? This table is a reminder that Jesus gave it all for us. This table is a reminder that Jesus gave everything possible. Jesus gave of His life sacrificially for us. And so as you sit here today, I think we all, as we are inspired by this table and as we are moved by God's grace, we can all come to the conclusion that we have more to give. This table is a reminder for us today as we eat of His body and drink of His blood. As we come to this table and acknowledge that God's grace is sufficient for us, I also want you to ask yourself a question, to prayerfully be asking, what's competing with this? What's competing with my relationship with Jesus Christ? What are the idols in my life, such as food, or gadgets, or stuff that I am turning into the God of my life? And how can I eliminate the competition so that you can be fully committed to the abundant and generous life that we are called to in Jesus Christ? What competition must be defeated for you today? What else can you give to Christ and to His church? Let's pray together.